My name is Beverly, and I am a compulsive overeater. I am very grateful to be here and abstinent today. And I was scheduled to speak on something else, and there was a big switcheroo that needed to happen. And I switched with somebody. I said, this topic is near and dear to my heart, so I would love to speak on the Grand Canyon recovery from relapse. I'll just start by qualifying. I've been in OA, it'll be almost 22 years in October. And I have about coming up on 7 years of abstinence, and I'm about 75 or so pounds down from my top weight, although I don't really know what my top weight was because I didn't like looking at that, so I don't really know. My history is for about the first 15 years in OA, I was a chronic relapser. And I came in that first year, lost tons of weight, and, you know, was doing all right for about a year, and then I gained it all back again. And, you know, I gained back 100 pounds. And then a couple of years later, I lost it all again, and then I lost my abstinence, and there it came again. And I'm a volume eater, and that's my primary thing. I have to watch volume, and it just, the weight came back on me like a freight train. Extremely painful. I felt such despair. I never really quit OA. I didn't have any idea where else to go. And besides that, I loved the people. And at times, what kept me coming back to OA was the coffee group after the meeting, because this is where my friends were. I would get a little bit of abstinence, and then it would go. I'd get 10 days. I'd get 30 days. I'd get, I'd get a couple months sometimes, and then, you know, something would happen. And was I working my program? Yeah, actually I was. I was working it. I did a fourth step almost right away when I got into program, because my sponsor insisted. It wasn't that I was sitting in the rooms and just not doing the work. I was talking with my sponsor. I was going to meetings. I was working the 12 steps. Spirituality was very difficult for me, and it took me a long, long time in program to get a spiritual connection that felt real and that worked for me. And whatever, here I am, 22 years later, somehow in that 15 years that I was back and forth, abstinent and then crazy and abstinent and then stark raving abstinent and then, whatever. Today I have about coming up on 7 years of abstinence. My weight has stabilized in the last 7 years, for the first time in my adult life. I started gaining weight when I was a teenager, and, from that point, it was just up, and then some yo-yoing, but mostly up. And for me, with my history, to be pretty much wearing the same clothes year after year is a freaking miracle. And what I'm going to try and do today is tell you how I got there. And it doesn't have to be how you get there. And some of the things that I'll say, I'm afraid to say in an OA room because I feel like they're not mainstream OA, and a lightning bolt might come hit me. But my job, I feel, is to share my story. And what you will do, I hope, is take what resonates with you as your truth and talk with your higher power and your sponsor and take it from there. So my experience, strength, and hope on relapse. So I wanted the gold star in OA. I have a gold star this weekend. Oh, my gosh. We all have gold stars and little sheriff's badges. I finally got it. I wanted the A+. I've always wanted the A+ in everything I did. What I really wanted is for all of you to agree 100%, yep, she deserves to say she's abstinent. I will put my stamp of, the other day, USDA OA stamp of approval on Beverly's abstinence. We agree. And, you know, we're all very different in OA. And I'd be going along thinking I might be abstaining. I might be abstaining. I might be doing okay there. And then I would look across the room and I'd see somebody else who I knew worked their plan differently than I worked my plan. And think, she wouldn't call this abstinent. She would not call this abstinent. Maybe I'm not abstinent. So it had to be, in a sense, it had to be not only your definition of abstinence, but all of your definitions of abstinence. And is that attainable? Probably not. And above all else, I needed to not be a liar. And if I was going to take that 30-day chip, by God, that 30 days better be perfect. And if I had had dinner one night and come away from dinner a little bit full, so maybe I might have eaten too much food, then what business did I have claiming 30 days? Liar. And I can tell you that thinking absolutely had to go in order for me to stop the chronic relapse cycle. And I have a formula for relapse. I made this up from my own personal experience. So if you would like to relapse or continue to relapse, I offer this to you. Perfectionism. Oh, this is like a flow chart, okay? So with the little arrows and stuff. Perfectionism, arrow, leads to failure, arrow, leads to shame, arrow, leads to the refrigerator. Works every time for me. And so I can't afford perfectionism and shame. Can't afford it. So about 15 years in program, I got a sponsor who was a whole lot more structured than my other sponsors had been, in that she said, I think this works best if we talk regularly. Whereas I'd had a deal set up with my sponsors where I was supposed to call when I needed to. I never felt I was up to deserving that call. It would be months, frankly. And in a sense, I didn't have a sponsor because I was never calling that person. So she asked to talk regularly, and that was key for me. But she also, the previous speaker in this room, or a person who shared, who's still here, said, my spirit was broken. And I wrote that down. I'm stealing it. Because I came to that sponsor with my spirit broken, with my past, with my family of origin, with the way I looked at myself and the way I had been behaving in my life, with my complete inability to manage something as simple as my food or do this program right. I so wanted to do this program right, and I couldn't get it right. So I came to her with a broken spirit. And what I believe she did for me is she helped me put my spirit back together. And basically she said, until you stop talking to yourself that way, until you let go of this perfect, you are not going to get it. What if the purpose of us coming to OA had nothing to do with food, but it had to do with we have to stop hating ourselves? What if that's the truth? And the food and the weight is what is going to happen for us when we stop hating ourselves. And by the way, this was a woman with 25 years of abstinence and healthy body weight talking, and something in what she said drew me and resonated for me. And so she proceeded to correct my language whenever I would say something about myself or my abstinence or, you know, it's just because I'm working a crummy program or whatever. She stopped me. And she would say, what do you want to, just tell me what you want to do. And we'll see if we can help you do that. And she had no interest in what happened with my food yesterday, except to say things like, what is it in your life you would like to be sweeter? Why did you need that? And is there another way to get what you need? And the other thing she started saying to me about my abstinence, because I was hung up in this, if I was going to count, it had to be perfect, and so therefore, essentially, nothing ever counted. She would say to me, would you claim your time? But I don't have any time because this, that, and the other thing. And she would propose to me that maybe I did have some time. And maybe my continual starting over was part of the problem. And I remember one day calling her, and I'd had an inappropriate food incident. And I'm like, okay, I think I'm in relapse. I think I got to start over. You know, that was clearly compulsive, blah, you know. And she wouldn't allow it. She would not allow it for me to start over. And she said, you know what? I'm like, I think I got to start over. I think I'm in relapse. I think I'm in relapse. And she said, you know what? We're going to look at that in 6 months. We're going to answer that question in 6 months if you still need to know the answer to that question. Are you in relapse? I want to know, what are you doing today? What's next? What's for dinner? What do you need right now? All of my energy was getting sucked up in the shame of it and the questioning, oh my God, am I in relapse? Instead of, wow, being honest, this just happened for me. This is what I'm thinking is going on. And what is my next best move? For me, that is a much better use of my energy. The food will suck me dry. And that continual relapse, shaming, whatever, just continue to break my spirit. And thank you, God, that my sponsor didn't allow it. I have 15 minutes left. Okay. So she also said, you got to stop setting bars you can't clear. Like, don't tell me a food plan you don't think you can do. Don't even tell me that. If you're already going, well, that's what somebody else eats, and I, you know, they look perfect to me, so I got to do what they do. Forget it. Here's what she told me about cake. I said a food word. I hope that doesn't. And as I'm going to repeat, do not change what you're doing if what you're doing is working for you. But maybe this will resonate and you'll want to talk to your sponsor and your higher power. I offer it only. Take what you like and leave the rest. Cake. My sponsor said to me, if you are going to eat a piece of cake, I expect you to put it on a plate, sit down at the dining room table, put a napkin in your lap, and eat that cake with a fork. And I'm like, what? OA has a thing about sugar. Isn't that illegal here? Actually, our literature says absolutely nothing about sugar. Nothing. A lot of people's experience is sugar sends them to more sugar. And if that is your truth, know it and own it. And don't eat sugar if it's going to hurt you, right? But for me, I believe what was happening is it wasn't the sugar. It was what I was doing in my head with the sugar. It was the self-recrimination, the beating myself up, the comparing myself to other people. And I came to see that as a character defect of mine. So, not mainstream OA. I'm not mainstream OA on just about anything, any measure you could find. However, I'm maintaining a reasonably healthy body weight. I have been abstaining for about 7 years, and I am sane today in my life and in my food. It works for me. I take it that's not for me. I don't know why that phone got put up here. Okay, that's all right. I'm ignoring it. Key for me absolutely is the steps. The 12 steps are my path to sanity. It just is. They are, I mean. And the tools help me immensely with that. I get in touch with sanity when I talk with other people who are experiencing sanity in moments when I am not, when I'm feeling crazy. And what I see, that whole process of working the steps around what's happening for me, and I think Matt talked about it last night too, is I am a vulnerable human being. And my job is to be a vulnerable human being. That means I will be afraid, I will be lonely, I will be bored, I will feel awkward, I will feel ravenous, I will feel shame sometimes. I get to have all of that. And all of those are incredibly vulnerable things. And it is my job to, with my higher power, with my sponsor, with my fellows, to not hold that vulnerability and that pain in me quietly, trying to cope all on my own, in self-reliance, because you know what? I ate over all those things, and if self-reliance would have worked, I would never I wouldn't need to be here. My job is to be vulnerable with my fellow human beings. So I got to once call my sponsor from Costco because I was freaking out because I could not find the light bulbs. And it was busy and it was crowded and I was starting to get agitated. And I called my sponsor and said, I can't find the light bulb. I'm in Costco and, you know, like, ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And it's high maintenance. And you know what? I'm fine with being high maintenance. Because if I feel like that's too stupid to ask for help with, then my next best move would have been the Costco food court. As ineffective as that has always been for me, that's where I would have gone with not being able to find the light bulbs. So I have to ask for help. And my job, I have a friend in my meetings who says, I have to fight like a scrappy dog for my abstinence, and I will. And if it's the only thing I do in a day is fight for my abstinence and be abstinent, that's a good day. And so, and it's my job. It's no one else's job. I hear in OA, OAs are isolators. We are horrible about returning OA outreach calls as a group. Anybody in here feel like OAs as a whole are good at returning calls? No, we're not. We're terrible at it. I accept that. So when I make a call, I'll call my sponsor and say, and my sponsor is very good about returning my calls, but I will always say, I own my own responsibility for my own abstinence and my own recovery. So I will say to her, I got something going that I really need to talk through. I commit to calling another person to working it out. My responsibility, not hers, to be there when I happen to call. I can't leave it to my fellows who are isolators and who will see me at a meeting and duck their head and go, oh, I didn't call you back, did I? It's just reality in a way. So I'm responsible for getting what I need to stay abstinent today. And May 26th, I didn't bring my For Today book, but May 26th in the For Today is my favorite reading. It's all about feeling uncomfortable. I have to feel uncomfortable. My sponsor said to me, addicts like to feel terrific. Period. That's what we want. Terrific every single day, 24 hours. That's an addict's expectation. And anything less than perfect is unacceptable to us. And we feel we gotta fix it. And I submit to you that we do not. Five minutes. I never gave myself credit for being strong enough to feel uncomfortable. I never thought I could feel uncomfortable. My relationship with my mother, we've got a history, and there's some pain there, and there's some abandonment there. And when my first daughter was born, no, it wasn't when my first daughter was born, it was later, I had a surgery. And I was told, major surgery, you are going to need help. You need to call family to come. And I so wanted my mother to come. I so wanted her to come. And I talked to my sponsor and I said, I know she's going to say no. And I know there's good reasons why she'll say no too, but I really want her here. I want my mommy. And so I'm afraid to ask. So you're afraid to ask because she might say no. And then you might feel oh, a whole bunch of abandonment issues from our history would be right there in my face. And she said, I think you're up to that. I think you can ask her and get a no and feel the feelings that will result to that. I think you can do that. And you know what? I asked her, and she said no for very good reasons. She has a life too. And I survived that. The sky did not fall. I didn't have to eat. I did not have to eat. And then my sponsor said to me, okay, I want you to make up a calendar for the 6 weeks, and I want you to go to meetings, and you can say, my sponsor is making me do this. But I have a calendar, and because I'm having surgery, and if anybody's interested in helping me, I have a calendar, and please talk to me after the meeting. And it filled. That calendar filled with OA people. And was that uncomfortable to ask for that help? You bet it was. You bet it was. And also, the sky didn't fall. Also. Guess what? I'm strong enough to ask for help and feel really awkward and uncomfortable about that. I got a Region 1 convention speaker a couple years ago had this thing I loved. She was like, I gotta dial it down. I gotta dial it down. And I love that. And what it says to me is, I gotta stop freaking out. I used to take a food slip and freak out about it. I used to take 2 pounds up on the scale and freak out about it. For me, 2 pounds equaled 100. Always. So the scale had incredible power over me because of that. And what my sponsor does is she brings me right back down to earth. So I called her and I was up, I think it was 2 or 3 pounds. And I'm freaking out because that's the beginning of 100. And she said, maybe you need to poop. Okay. In other words, stop freaking out. The freak out led me to the fridge. It did, every time. It's not logical, but it did. So let's see if there's anything. I gotta check in. Is my time up?
It will be.
Pretty much. It will be shortly. Okay. I got to check in. How am I today? And I know now in abstinence that when I'm anxious, I get a stomach ache. I didn't know that before because my stomach just hurt all the time, frankly, because I was stuffing it. When I'm anxious, I get a stomach ache. My body sends me signals now. I didn't know I had PMS until I was abstinent. And I'm like, why am I angry several days a month? And a pattern emerged because I wasn't angry all the time and, you know, binging all the time. So I got to check in. How am I? Am I good? Am I? And my sponsor call is really good for that. She says to me, how are you today? And I go, and then I get to see how I am today. And then it's, if I'm not okay today, do we need an adjustment? Does something need to change? Do I need some time in meditation? Do I need to cancel something that's on my schedule for today? She used to say to me, how are you today? And I would say, I have a headache. And I get lots of headaches. So it's a way of life for me. And she'd say, have you taken your medicine? And I would say, oh, no, why not? And I remember the day when she said, have you taken your medicine? And I said, yes, I have. Like a recovery moment for me. I have to take care of me. The road of abstinence is paved with self-care. Part of my self-care is the steps. Part of my self-care is getting with people who love me. part of my self-care is I don't get to beat up on myself anymore. Part of my self-care is acknowledging my own gifts, and I actually see them today. And is my time up?
Yeah.
She's telling me to go ahead, but I think my time is up.
Finish your thought.
Finish my thought. I think that's about finishing my thoughts. So what I would love to hear from you, and you get to share anything you want, you know, how I have a feeling if you came here today, you might be struggling with relapse, or you might be afraid and feeling edgy about your food, or afraid you might relapse, or you're working with someone who maybe is a chronic relapser like I used to be. And so my hope is that you could take away something, if not for you, maybe for that person that you work with who maybe just can't do it. And maybe it would work for you or them. Thank you for letting me share. Oh, wait. Okay, one more thing. They gave us these wooden nickels. Yahoo, you always have other options. Everybody got a wooden nickel in their packet. Beautiful for recovery from relapse. We always have other options to picking up the food. Always. A gazillion of them. And it's our responsibility to do it. And I think I'm going to put a magnet on this, or I'm going to put it, maybe I'm going to carry it in my pocket. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay, the floor is now open for sharing. Please limit your sharing to the topic of the workshop. Each person will have up to 3 minutes to share. You may share from your seat or come to the middle of the aisle. Please speak loudly as possible. And I think up here is best for the recording.
Hi, I'm Sue. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater.
Hi, Sue.
Hi. I have been a chronic relapser. I've been in program 12 years. 2 years I was in, I had abstinence, and then I've had 2 years now, almost 2 years. And in between all that, I was slipping in a slide and couldn't get together more than at the end a day or two. And it was very frustrating. I felt lost. I felt hopeless. And what I got to a place of desperation, and when I finally got to a place of desperation, then I became willing to do what I needed to do and had never really been willing to do until then. What the process taught me is that a relapse can be progressive. And what I've learned in the last 2 years is recovery can be progressive. And I was finally willing to throw as much energy and time and willingness into working my program as I was when I was trying to get the food and think about the food, recovery is not hard when I'm willing to go to that length, when I'm willing to take the spiritual program of action and actually work it with a sponsor. And recovery is possible. It is so possible. And probably the only thing I did right through that long, long relapse is I never left the rooms. That was really hard to keep coming. A head full of program and a stomach full of food is not a way to have any kind of serenity. But at least I was there then when the miracle started to happen for me. And it's my life today is so much better than it was 2 years ago. So I just offer hope and encouragement. Thanks.
My name's Anita. I'm a compulsive overeater. So relapse is something I've always like, am I? But I think the main thing I've realized is I'm still maintaining a huge weight loss. You know, my weight might fluctuate, but I'm still maintaining a huge amount of weight loss. And I think that's an important part of my recovery, is not getting too bent out of shape about that. And some of the things that have helped me in that is if I always come back to this one. If I can't do it right, why do it at all? And that's not what I need to do. I have to do it. And I can't just stop. If it's not going right or it's really in that gray area, I can't just stop because the weight will just show right back up. So I have to relax and realize, just get back to program. It's progress. It's not perfection. I live in perfection. It doesn't get me anywhere. So I just keep using those little tools. And it really is. Keep coming back. It works if you're worth it. And I am worth it. So that's basically it. I keep showing up. And maybe this happens. But if I stop, then it will only go up. My pain, my weight, everything. So I have to just keep coming back and being aware. So, progress. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth. I'm a recovered compulsive eater from Edmonton, Alberta. I've been in program probably 21 or 2 months, and haven't had a relapse, but I've sponsored a lot of people in relapse, and one of the things that I come across is that they focus too much on the food, and their abstinence is precarious. Most of the people I sponsor, I actually don't know their food plan. And what I focus on is the mental obsession that leads to picking up the food. So the freakouts, the demand for perfectionism, which I'm also prey to, but I help them dial it down. I like that expression, dialing it down. Okay, let's have a look at the facts. Let's see what the situation is really about. Do you see any character defects popping up? I'm constantly in my step 10s daily watching for those character defects myself. And as a sponsor, I nail my sponsees on those character defects. I say, well, don't you think that's selfish? Or can you see any resentments coming up in there? You know, and dealing with that mental stuff, the way we handle life, the way we expect life to be, the expectations are always a setup for resentments as well. So I have no relapse experience, but I sponsor a lot of people who have been relapsed. And the big book has always taught me, especially in chapter 3 about more about alcoholism, that it's that man, no one likes to admit he's bodily and mentally different from his fellows, and that the delusion that we think we're different, we can eat like normal people. That delusion has to be smashed. We do have to look at the mental obsession, the mental twist that happens before we turn to the food. And that's how I've seen so many people come out of relapse.
Hi, I'm Marcy. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic.
I'm Marcy.
This is scary for me. I want to come up here and say that I have 5 years of abstinence, and one of the reasons is because I found a sponsor who had a food plan that was workable for me. I have a huge problem with perfectionism. And I struggled. I've been around OA since I was 14 years old, in and out many times, and I could never get abstinence. I could never do gray sheet for very long. I felt like I was always starving. And 5 years ago when I met this person, she had what was called a moderate meal plan, 3 moderate meals a day, no food in between, but you could have liquids that did have calories, so I didn't feel like I was going to starve, and it was just like a huge weight was lifted off me, and I was able to get it, the food part of it, and so that that got me going. And then, of course, she was very strong, you know, with working the steps. And so I worked with her for a couple of years, and then I stopped working with her. But I now have another sponsor, you know, whom my higher power brought to me, and I'm continuing to work the steps with her, and I'm just so grateful. What I want to say is I had an 18-year relapse prior to that, 5 years ago, and I want to just say to you, please don't give up if you're in relapse. Please, please find a plan that works for you. If you're not hearing what you need to hear, you know, go to someone else and ask them. You know, keep looking, because we are here. There are people with different kinds of plans. It's so diverse, you know, and that's the wonderful thing about OA, the thing that I love so much. So please don't give up. Keep coming back. Don't do what I did and leave for 18 years. It's so lonely. I was so desperate. I was so miserable and alone. I didn't have any friends. I didn't socialize. And now I just feel like the whole world is open to me. And I feel so much love, and I have love to give. And I'm just so grateful. So thank you. Keep coming back.
Hi, I'm Linda. I go by Linda C., and I'm from Bend. And I actually grew up in the Portland area, but the last couple years I've lived in Bend. And I, too, have an array of good and, well, I don't like that word. I've been in OA since 94 and lost perfectly about 55 pounds. And then I couldn't do it perfect, so I left. Well, I gained all the weight back. And so my pearl for today is this is progressive to recover. Recovery can be progressive, but to me, it is progressive. So all that stuff, I am today. And some of the things that were so successful for me were baby steps. I mean, I'm talking like minutes to get out of a food or something like that. So we can take it down to the minuscule of the smallest itty-bitty abstinent time frame. And the other thing was 3 meals a day with life in between. I didn't have any life in between. I had food from when I woke up till when I went to bed. And I didn't put any restrictions on my meals because I was so excited to sort of be enjoying that little break in between that I could think of other things. The other thing is, I am so blessed to be in OA. I am blessed. I have all the offerings of all the people and the steps and the meetings and the, it's a blessing. It, you know, you would think we're used to being so hard on ourselves that something's wrong, but it's the blessing that that has given me my life back. One other thing I wanted to bring up that really touched me this particular the relapse thing, because I've been struggling off and on for probably 15 years, and it's the sugar. I have not allowed myself to tell myself that I'm abstinent because I will have an occasional sugar. And after I take the power out of that, I realize that if I am honestly evaluating my sugar consumption, and it's just a couple bites of a piece of cake and leave all the frosting and I'm okay, that's abstinence. So I'm going to be able to come and leave from these meetings and say I can be abstinent. And the power is out of the sugar. The power over me is gone when I accepted that or something. And I know it, the honesty piece is crucial, because there's things in this thing that, like ice cream. Honestly, I don't do ice cream because honestly, it's a trigger. So I am so grateful to be here, and I get to ramble, but I think I'm going to have some peace when I leave these rooms this weekend, and I thank all of you for being here and helping me. Thanks.
Is this your turn? Okay. Hi, my name's Lana. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for sharing, Beverly. Listening to you speak, I felt like I was at the first meeting that I ever came to in OA, where my first sponsor, who wasn't my sponsor yet, but she opened up her mouth and out came my story. There was so much that you said that I was just like, yes, yes, oh my God, I've never heard anybody else say that before, but that's in my head. So thank you so much. One of those things was that I want your stamp of approval on my abstinence. And for me, that's, I want your stamp of approval on my abstinence, my body weight, my exercise habits, because in my head, it's like, it's not perfect, and I feel like a bit like a fraud standing up here and saying I have 9 years of abstinence, because, you know, if I eat too much at dinner one night, right? Like, oh, am I a liar if I come up here and call myself abstinent? And I used to think that that was like a warning alarm, like, you ate too much at dinner, like you're on a slippery slope, like, be in fear, like it's coming, relapse is coming, and relapses never actually came. So it's just like, I thought that that was a warning bell, and it's like, really, that's just my disease trying to perpetuate this atmosphere of chronic anxiety and chronic fear, because that's what my body is used to living in. So dialing it down, oh, I remember hearing somebody in a meeting share, I just loved her tone, she was so dry. But she was like, she would call herself by name, like in third person. Say that her name was Fran. She was like, okay, Fran, dial it down 11 notches. And it's like, yes, like just hearing her say that, like, yes, like dial it down, just relax. One thing that I know about anorexics, bulimics, and compulsive overeaters, from what I've observed in the rooms, from what I've observed in myself, and from research that I've done, is that we're very good at focusing on the details and really bad at integrating the big picture. So for me, looking at my body and being like, oh my God, like that part of my body it's growing. Oh my God, like you're at risk of relapse here. And it's just like, hold on, zoom out. What's the big picture say? It's like, no, like I'm maintaining this weight loss for over 9 years. So it's like, what is the big picture telling me? It's telling me that I'm okay. Don't freak out. I love the don't freak out message. Such a simple, clear message, but it's just like, it's so, so, so good. And there was something else.
Thanks, everyone, for your participation. Please remember the anonymity clause. Take the stories, but leave the names behind.